Okay, Bezrat Hashem, some famous Rashis and Parshas Ha'azinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts by asking the Shemaim and Aretz to listen. What's the idea? So Rashi quotes the Medrash from Chazal that Moshe is saying, I'm warning Bnei Yisrael, I'm giving them Musar now, and you'll be the witnesses. V'tu edi madavar. Why you? Why should they be the witnesses? Because Moshe says, I'm a baser v'dam. Eventually I'm going to die. Bnei Yisrael will say, we never were mekabel the bris. We never accepted the deal upon ourselves to keep all the mitzvos. Who's going to come and say it's not true? You will, the Shemayim V'aretz. Oh, because the Shemayim V'aretz last forever. Heid behem, Shemayim V'aretz eidim shekayamim le'olam. So that's idea number one, that these are eternal witnesses. But then Rashi goes further, that the Shemayim V'aretz, they're not just witnesses, but they actually are the ones that will give the schar, or give the punishment. Because if Bnei Yisrael do the mitzvos, then there will be rain, and there will and the land will produce grapes and fruits the way it's supposed to. But im yischayv, if Bnei Yisrael do averos, whoa, then the earth and the land and the heavens and the earth will be the first ones to punish them. Like it says that the Edim, Yad Edim Tetchila, that the Edim who testify that someone's Chayiv Misa, they're the ones who are first involved in administering the punishment to the murderer. So this is why the Parsha begins with Shamayim Va'aretz. Oh. Pasuk Gimel is a very famous Pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havagod Elokeinu. When I call the name of Hashem, then give greatness. I will give greatness to, ascribe greatness to Hashem. Oh. So what does this mean? So Rashi gives one shot, that when you hear Hashem's name, when you hear the Shem HaMeforash, then you have to give extra kavod to Hashem. And what do you say? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'od. This is what we do. This is what we do on Yom Kippur. We have the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and we say in our davening that the Kohen Gadol would mention Hashem's name. We all bow down and say Baruch Shem Kol Machuso Le'olam Voad. So that's being hinted to in this pasuk. There's another idea here, that the Gemara says that this pasuk is the source for saying Birchos HaTorah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra V'Godo Le'Elokeinu. How exactly is this pasuk a source for Birchos HaTorah? So the Marsha explains on the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Kaf Aleph, and this explanation was made more famous by the Nefesh HaChaim. The Ramban writes in the introduction to the Chumash that the whole Torah Shemus of Hashem. If you take the letters of the Torah and all the letters of the Torah somehow spell out Hashem's name in different forms. And the Torah is Hashem's wisdom. When a person learns Torah, he's directly connecting with Hashem himself. And according to the Ramban, not only are you directly connecting with Hashem, you're actually, in a sense, saying Hashem's name over and over again in different ways. It's the most powerful way to connect to Hashem. So the pasuk is saying, when you call Hashem's name, when you learn Torah, then beforehand you give a bracha to Hashem. Havagod Elokeinu. This is the famous pshat, that as any time we learn, we are directly connecting with Hashem. Every time you learn a piece of Gemara, it's Kishem Hashem Ekra, and therefore you say Birchos HaTorah first. Rav Nelsal adds on to this. We know there are 24 Sfarim in Tanakh. But Chazal tell us that really there are 26, because Chumash Bamidbar is really split up into three. The Psukim of Vayi Ben Sa'aron have backwards nuns around them, And Chazal say it's really a separate sefer. So Bamidbar is really three svarim. Until those psukim, those two psukim, and then the rest of it. So there are 20. So really, there are 26 svarim in Tanakh, and that's a gematria of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when you call out Hashem's name, when you learn Tanakh, you say Birchas HaTorah first. There are 63 mesechtas of Mishnayos. However, Rav Nemetzal points out that Kelim really is three mesechtas, Chazal say, which means really there are 65 mesechtas. That's the gematria of 65. That's the gematria of Hashem's other name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. So when you learn Mishnayos, you're learning part of the 65 svarim of Mishnayos, the 65 mesechtas of Mishnayos. You're calling out Hashem's name, you say a bracha first. Beautiful, beautiful idea from Rav Nemenzel. Next pasuk, Kelo Munov Ein Ovel. Hashem is faithful, and everything is done properly. No iniquity. What does that mean? That means Sadiqim. So Hashem is faithful, and everyone gets what they deserve. The Tzaddikim get their reward eventually, Rashi says. Ve'ein ovel, af la Rishayim, mishalim shchar tzidkasim ba'olam hazeh. Even Rishayim gets shchar, whatever they deserve. They get it in Olam Hazeh. Now, it's better to get it in Olam Haba, but for the Rishayim, so they taka for themselves, they would appreciate it more in Olam Hazeh anyway. So the Pasuk is saying that Hashem is faithful, and there's no iniquity, which means everyone gets their schar. Even the Rishayim get their schar, which, you know, in one way or another. Okay. Next, Pasuk Hei. Shiches lo banov mumam. Corruption is not his. Shiches lo. Banov mumam. The corruption is not Hashem's, rather, it's of his children. Oh. This means, mumav shel banov hu velo mumo. If Bnei Yisrael get punished for something, it's not because there's something wrong with Hashem, chas v'shalom, obviously. It's because there's something wrong with us. So that's what the pasuk means. That it's Bnei Yisrael's problem, not Hashem's. Okay. Now, we are supposed to learn from history about how Hashem governs the world. Schar v'onesh. This is the famous pasuk Zayin. Zechor yimos olam binu shnos dor v'dor. Remember the days of old. Understand the years of the generation to generation. So Rashi says, remember the days of old. Ma'asa barishonim shechisu lefanov. What did Hashem do to those that angered him and did aveiros? He punished them. Binu shenos dor vador. Dor enosh Hashem punished. Dor hamabul Hashem punished. And then you learn from there that we should not do the same mistake that they make, and we should not do, we should not do any aveiros. Rashi quotes a similar pshat, Dever Acher, that just like you see what Hashem did in the past for the aveiros, you should recognize that he has in his koach to do good for you, l'hanchil lachem. He says, Rashi says, b'binu shenostor v'dor l'hakir l'haba, in order to recognize for the future, sheish b'yadu leitiv lachem yimos ha-mashiach, u'lanchil lachem yimos ha-mashiach v'olam haba. It's a similar idea, just that instead of, according to the first pshat, Zechor Yemos Olam and Binu Shnos Dor Vador both refer to the past. Rashi is saying now, that Zechor Yemos Olam, in order that you recognize for the future generations all the good that Hashem has the ability to do for you. Okay. Pasuk Yud. Yimsa'ehu be'eretz midbar uveso yigal l'shimam. He found him in a desert land and in the waste of a wilderness. What does that mean? That means Hashem found the Jewish people. Although it's a singular, referring back to Yaakov, who was mentioned earlier, here it's a reference to the whole B'nai Yisrael, which came out of Yaakov. So that's how Rashi learns. That's all of Am Yisrael. Oso matzalo ne'amani be'eretz ha-midbar. Hashem found that B'nai Yisrael were faithful to the Midbar. Where were we faithful in the Midbar? She'kibu aleim Torah, so we accepted the Torah. U'malchusa. V'ulo. Oh. As opposed to the other nations who did not accept the Torah. V'zarach miseir lamo and hofia mehar paran. That's a little later on. That Seir is a reference to Esav, and Paran is a reference to Yishmael. So the pasuk here is praising B'nai Yisrael that we accepted upon ourselves the yoke of the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, and that's to our praise. Now there's a very, very famous pasuk Tesvav, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. Yeshurun became fat and kicked and rejected Hashem. This is a very, very major yesod. Sometimes when a person's wealthy, it can cause him to, Rachman Litzchan, push Hashem away. I don't need Hashem. I have my money in the bank. There's a big problem. The challenge of wealth. It's been a big problem for Am Yisrael to recognize that even at the time of wealth, especially at the time of plenty, we have to stay focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very, very important. This is one of the pshatim of Tachas, Asher lo avadato Hashem elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav. In the Klal in Parshas Kisavo, it says, because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. So one pshat is that you have to serve Hashem b'simcha. The other pshat is, because you didn't serve Hashem when you had simcha, when things are good, we have to thank Hashem for everything that we have. And focus on Hashem. If we don't do that, then Hashem, in a sense, is forced to remind us that He's there. Takes everything away. You have to turn to Hashem even more. So when life is good, that's the best time to constantly thank Hashem for everything, all the time. Tremendous, tremendous Hakaras HaTov. I recently heard a vort. We're holding by, coming up to Rosh Hashanah. So I heard a vort from Avigdor Miller Zatzal. Let's say that last year on Yom Kippur, on Motzei Yom Kippur, you came to your Suda after Yom Kippur. You're going to eat now. You're happy. You had a wonderful Yom Kippur. You're about to eat. And next to your plate is a letter. The letter said, "Dear so-and-so, I, Hashem, have accepted your tefillos, and you're going to live a whole nother year now." Signed, MS, with Hashem's stamp. So what would you do if you received a letter like that, and you were sure it was authentic? So one of my talmidim said, "Oh, sell it on eBay. If you have Hashem's signature, that's pretty good." Okay, but let's not talk about selling it on eBay. So he says, what would you do? Well, if you were sure that letter was from Hashem, you would dance around the room. Thank you, Hashem. You gave me another year of life. Thank you. Dancing for joy. Delirious with simcha. So now, as the year is coming to an end, now, on Rosh Hashanah time, we recognize that we received that letter, as we didn't know it. So now we should be thanking Hashem like crazy. Thank you for another year. Thank you for another year of life, for another year of health. Now is the time to, but it's more than that, because now, Rabbi Victor Miller talks about thanking Hashem for everything. We had breakfast almost every day, and lunch almost every day, and we had clothing every day, and we have comfortable shoes every day. There's so much to thank Hashem for. It's overwhelming. So as the year's coming to an end, a very good focus of our Avodas Hashem should be tremendous, tremendous Hakaras HaTov for the past year. You should do this now, and especially at Rosh Hashanah, when you say Shachiyanu, on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, have that in mind, thanking Hashem. One very good way to avoid Vayishman, Yeshua, and Vayivat is to have constant Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for everything He's given us. Rav Hirsch here develops another idea, very beautiful idea. You know, Olympic swimmers consume tremendous amounts of food, carbohydrates, thousands and thousands of calories. But they don't gain weight. Just the opposite, it's turned into muscle. Why? Because they use it. They use it for exercise. All of the energy that's contained in the food is used in a productive way. Nothing's left over to become excess fat. But a person who eats a lot and doesn't exercise properly, then his body absorbs the energy it needs, and the rest ends up being stored as unnecessary and unhealthy fat. Rav Hirsch writes, that's the pshat. If a person is zocha to extra wealth, he has to use it. Use productively. And then it won't be vayishman. And it won't be vayivat. It's a very big responsibility being wealthy. A person has to use his money properly. You have to avoid vayishman, which often unfortunately leads to vayivat. So that's Rav Hirsch's angle, that if one uses the wealth properly, it won't lead to the negative vayishman. Okay, Pasuk Yudches. Tzur yiladecha teshi vatishchach kel mecholulecha. You ignored the rock who gave birth to you and forgot Hashem. That's how Rashi learns that teshi means to forget. That's the pashup shah. It's another word for forgetting. Shochachta, you forgot Hashem. Hashem created us as a nation. He gave us everything we have. We forget about Him. You forget about Hashem, and then eventually it leads to punishment. And that's what's happening here. So that's one pshat that teshi means to forget. Okay? There's another pshat. Teshi, Rashi quotes, also means to weaken. Matishim kocho. What does that mean? Matishim kocho mirehati lachem. We weaken Hashem from being able to do good for us. This means as follows. Hashem wants to shower us with bounty, with goodness. Shefa. The Ramchal explains Hashem is the ultimate tov. He's the ultimate good in the world. And as the ultimate good, Hashem wants to, in a sense, be mativ. But we have to be deserving of this. And when we do aveiras, when we ignore Hashem and don't do the mitzvos, then, in a sense, Hashem's hands are tied. He can't give us things if we don't deserve it. There's a system of how things work. So when we do aveiras, when we forget Hashem, then in a sense, we are weakening Hashem. Teshi, weak. We are weakening Hashem that He's not able to give us what He wants to give us. Very, very powerful idea. Next, Pasuk Kaf Gimel. It says here that Hashem is, this is part of the punishment that Bnei Yisrael is going to deserve. And the Pasuk says, Aspalem Uroz, Chitzai Achalebam, I shall use up my arrows against them. Hashem is punishing us and He's going to use up all the arrows. So it's a klala. It's like you're attacking something and you give him everything. Everything you have, you throw at the person. Rocks and this and knives and arrows. It's a terrible punishment. Oh. So Rashi here develops an idea that he says elsewhere as well. Beautiful idea. That within this klala, there's a bracha. Kol chitzai ashrim bahem, uklala zu, Lefia Peranios, Livrachahi. This klala with all of the terrible punishments implies a bracha. Why? Chitzai kalim, the arrows were finished. Veheim ein kalim. But Bnei Yisrael are not finished.
It says my arrows will be used up in them. They're still going to be there. So this is part of Hashem's promise that even when He punishes us and we deserve punishment, even when that happens, Hashem will never destroy the Jewish people totally. That's the bris that we have. That's the bris that we have. We won't be destroyed totally. So within the klala, there is a bracha. Rashi mentions this in other places. Back in Vayikra, where the Torah had, in Bechukosah, the Torah has the terrible klala that's going to come upon Bnei Yisrael. And it says, Eretz Yisrael is going to be shomema. It's going to be desolate. And Rashi explains that that's part of the bracha. That when the Jewish people leave, it's going to be desolate. The Goyim will never be able to properly settle and cultivate Eretz Yisrael. So while Hashem is punishing us and giving us the nevuah of the terrible punishment, we find brachos. We find brachos embedded within the terrible kolos and the terrible punishment.
Okay, Pasuk Mem Dalet. So Moshe Rabbeinu says over the Shira, together with Hoshea Binun. What do you mean? It says, who of Hoshea Binun? So Rashi explains, it was a Shabbos of Diyuz Gi. That means a set of two. That Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was going to die soon. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that Yehoshua received the proper kavod to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. People should take him seriously, give him proper respect. So therefore, Moshe had Yehoshua give the drasha together with him when Moshe was alive. Hamidu Moshe Meturgeman Yehoshua Shedorish Bechayev. Why? Kidei Shelo Yom Yisrael Bechay Rabcha Lo Hayecha Lo Harim Rosh. Yehoshua, you're not so chashuv. When Moshe was alive, you did nothing. So Moshe Rabbeinu made sure that Yehoshua received a lot of kavod during his lifetime. So people knew that Yehoshua deserved to be the next leader. But what's interesting, that Yehoshua didn't let it go to his head. That's why the Torah says Hoshea Binun. The Torah takes out the Yud here. Why? V'lama karu kan Hoshea, Rashi says, Lomar, Sha'af, Shelo zacha daito olav, Sha'af al pisha, Nithna lo gedula, Hishbel atzmo, Kasher mitchilaso. He didn't let it go to his head. Yehoshua did not become a Baal Gaiva. So even as he's getting the greatest kavod, the Torah emphasizes, it's like he remained the way he was originally. He was Hoshea, the way he was originally. He didn't let it go to his head. So both ideas are important. Moshe giving the extra kavod to Yehoshua to help him become the next leader, and Yehoshua dafka not becoming a Baal Gaiva. Then Moshe says, Pasuk Mem Vav, Simu levav chumachot ver mesher anochi meid bochem hayom, which means literally apply your heart to all the things I told you today. So Rashi says, this is an idea of remez, that a person has to put a lot of work in to understand Torah. Your eyes and ears have to be directed towards the Torah. And Rashi quotes a mashal. It's a kal v'chomer. If the tavnis habayis, if the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, shunir ro'leinayim, which you can see and you can measure, if you want to understand how to build the Beis HaMikdash, and that's something which you can see as you're building it, and there the Pasuk says that that takes effort to understand, it's so complex. So kal v'chomer, all the more so when it comes to Torah, shein harayin hatzkuyin v'sayra, mountains hanging by a hair. That's the language of the Mishnah and Chagiga Daf Yud. That you certainly have to work hard at it. If a person wants to understand Torah, he has to work hard. And if you work hard, you'll succeed. Yagata umatzata tami. If you work hard at learning, you'll succeed, Bezud Hashem. Then there's a very famous Pasuk Mem Zayin. Ki lo dabar reku mikem. The Torah is not empty. So Rashi quotes two pshatim. Number one, lo l'china matem yigein ba. Gihar be schar talui ba. There's a lot of schar. There's nothing empty there. When you learn Torah and work hard at Torah, you're going to get a lot of schar. So Lo Devar Reik means that it contains a lot of value. It's not worthless. Oh. The second shot is Devar Acher, Ein Lecha Devar Reikan BaTorah. There's nothing empty in the Torah. Shim Tid Rishenu Ein BaMatan Schad. That there's no, that you won't have a reward. In other words, you can learn from every piece of the Torah, every word, every phrase. There's what to learn from. There's nothing empty in the Torah. There is significance everywhere. And then Rashi quotes, there's a pasuk in Bereishis which says, Va'achos Lotan Timna, and Timna was a sister of Lotan. So why is that mentioned? And Timna was the Pilegesh of Eliphaz, the son of Esav. So now it's interesting. Lotan was Chashuv. So why would Lotan's sister become a Pilegesh of someone? Oh, the answer is that Timna wanted to be somehow connected with the family of Avram Avinu. So Timna said, I'll do anything to be connected with Dabek Bizarro. So if I can't become the wife of a descendant of Avram, at least I'll become a Pilegesh of a descendant of Avram. So that phrase, Achos Lotan Timna, which seems insignificant, is really teaching us something very important about the Chashivas of Avram's family and how it was viewed at the time. Reb Nemetzal developed another pshat in Lo Devareku Mikem. And he quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that if you think the Torah is reik, Yerushalmi says, of course the Torah is not empty. It's full. Rather, the pasuk means, if you think it's something's not there, work hard and it is there. That's what the Yerushalmi says. That of course the Torah is not really empty. But the pasuk is teaching us. The pasuk is teaching us. The Yerushalmi writes, "V'im reikhu," and if it is empty, "Mikemhu reik," from you it's empty. "V'lama," why? "Mipnei she'ein atem yegein b'Torah," because you didn't work hard enough at learning. It's the Yerushalmi at the beginning of Peah. So this Yerushalmi is teaching us that, Reb Nemetzal explains, the Torah has everything in it. Everything's in the Torah. Of course it isn't empty, but it's even fuller than you think. And the Pasuk's teaching us that if you don't find something in the Torah, it's your problem. It's all there. Reb Nemetzal quotes that the Vilna Gaon's family writes, that towards the end of his life, the Gra spent most of his time learning Chumash, because the Gra knew Kol Torah Kula by heart, and the Gra spent time trying to find remuzim, hints, for things that Chazal say in the Torah Shebichsav. The Gra took it as a given that whatever Chazal say is somehow hinted to in the Torah. Everything's in the Torah. And the Gra spent time trying to find these remuzim. And there are several famous examples, and then Reb Nemetzal himself also adds on ideas along these lines. Remuzim for things that Chazal say, he finds these remuzim in the Torah Shebichsav. Oh, so that's another pshat in Lo Devareku Mikem. Of course it isn't empty, but it means it's more full than you think. Everything's in the Torah. Everything's in the Torah. Just one famous example among many. We know that B'nai, a word from the Gra, we know that B'nai Yisrael were supposed to be Mitzrayim 400 years. That was the original Nevuah. And in the end, we were there for only 210 years. But the Nevuah said 400. So the Mefarshim explain that the 400 years began from when Yitzchak was born. But really, the actual Shibu, the actual time spent in Galus, was 210 years. Which means, in a sense, we left Mitzrayim 190 years early. Why? So here there are different pshatim in Chazal. One pshat in Chazal is that we left Mitzrayim early because the Mitzrayim overdid it in their oppression of the Jewish people. We deserved X amount of punishment, but the Mitzrayim did way more than what we deserved. So in the 210 years in Mitzrayim, we received that which we really deserved for the 400 years. Well, what's the phrase in the Torah that indicates that the Mitzrayim really went overboard? The phrase is, Vayimaru es chayehim, and they made our lives bitter. In other words, they made our lives so bitter. They made our lives so bitter that we left Mitzrayim early. Okay. That's what Chazal say. Now, the notes, the ta'amim, on that phrase of Vayimaru es chayehim are a kadma v'yazgah. So the Grub pointed out that the words kadma v'yazgah mean to go early. Kadma, kodam, means early, and azla, zeal, means to go. So the Grub said that the notes on the phrase, which Chazal used to teach the idea that we left Mitzrayim early because they made our life so bitter, the notes themselves are a hint that we left early. A very beautiful idea. And then the Grub adds on, and not only that, but the exact gematria of Kadma V'Yazgah is 190. Now, ready, that's very exciting. That's amazing. So the notes teach us not only that we left early, but we left early 190. So there was an exact hint to what Chazal say in the notes on the phrase that Chazal are talking about. That's an example of the Gra's style. So what we're learning here is that the context of the Gra, according to Rav Nevensal, the context of the Gra is this Yerushalmi of on our pasuk Lo Davar Reikum, that the Torah is not empty. Of course, it isn't empty. It means even things which you don't expect to find, everything's there. And if you don't find it, it's because you didn't work hard enough. Everything's there. So that's the Gra. So the Rav Nevensal explains the Gra is really working with the Pshat of the Yerushalmi on this pasuk. Okay, we'll stop here.